It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Right back at it here on a Wednesday for all three of us, our Friday. So we'll sprinkle in some topics that we normally do on Thursday and Friday today. We'll have Matt Cotrero on at 9 o'clock today, so stay tuned for that as well. Jay Binkley just joined us. He's in with Alex Gold again today, as I'm sure they'll talk more and more about what's going on at minicamp with Trey Smith. Good to hear what Binkley had to say about that as well. Huge Trey Smith fan. Glad to see him out there and know that he's about that life.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they're going to take care of me. I'm going to take care of them. And this is one of those things where I thought Chris Jones said it great. He took a different approach to me, which is probably best.
Probably the right move to do, not to do what I did. But no, I mean, like, it's a balancing act. Like, if Trey didn't show up, I would definitely understand not showing up. You don't have the contract that you want. I get it. You got one opportunity, really, to kind of cash in the NFL, and Trey needs to make up for lost money over the last couple of years. So I would have understood if he wasn't there. But being there shows you that he is close and shows you that he is one of the kind of cornerstones of this franchise that they're going to build around, that they want to have, you know, in their fold. And he's one of the good ones, man. Like, I love Trey to death. Like, he's just a super duper human being. He's a great person, and he's an even better football player. So it's just a really good fit for us here in Kansas City. It's a good fit for Trey as well. And I think something will get done. You don't show up to mini camp if you're not close to getting a deal done.
Real quickly, we get back to the poll question.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
So you can go over to our Twitter handle at TheFan965. We have our poll question up. The poll question up for the Fesco and Dusty poll question is, does Dan Mears, the 35-year-long KC Wolf mascot, belong in the Chiefs Ring of Honor? 62.4% say yes.
Good. Good.
So leading in that category out of 109.
I was worried, so I'm glad.
What did you think it was going to be, Mac?
I just thought it was going to be maybe 60-40 the other way of some people kind of, oh, well, he didn't play football here. He's, you know, that sort of attitude, rather like it's about the culture of the franchise, yeah, adding to the history, adding to the legacy. Casey Wolf did all that, man.
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting topic that you bring up, because that's kind of the way I was leaning. And, you know, I've been to all these ballparks that we do for our ballpark trip, and you go through and you see certain things that are very important to those people in that town. And if you're not from that place, you don't have any idea why this guy's got a statue or that guy's got a statue or why this person's name is up there. And then you have the opportunity to learn about that. And you go, oh, that's really cool. And then you see, you know, who they're honoring and whatnot. And that's kind of where it is for Casey Wolf. I mean, can you tell the story of the Kansas City Chiefs without Casey Wolf?
Exactly.
And, you know, a lot of people say, well, yeah, it's all about the football that's on the field, but also it's all about the community that's involved with this team. And I think every child out there knows who Casey Wolf is, just like they know who Slugger is, right? And you know who these folks are, and they become an important part of, you know, going to the game as a kid. Where's Casey Wolf? Or where's Slugger? They all love to see that mascot. And so that's, as a kid, how you kind of get into sports. You fall in love with the mascot, and then you fall in love with that sport. So I think Casey Wolf is a very, very important part of the history of the Kansas City Chiefs, and absolutely should be in the Ring of Honor.
a lot of people think that the important thing for the Royals is the voice inside the head of the hitters, but maybe the most important part is the bat inside the hitter's hands.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, right? And it ultimately just comes down to the players executing. And, you know, with this erroneous report by whoever that guy was yesterday in New York, it forced me to make phone calls. You know, I don't like bothering people all the time. You know, I'm not one of those that every day I've got to call so-and-so or this guy to get information. But when stuff like this starts to kind of get peddled down of lies about the owner wanting the team to sell and whatnot, I feel like I've got to make some phone calls. And then you have some conversations about other things as well with people in the organization. And, you know, the Zoom Walt was actually brought up to me. And the person that I was talking to yesterday inside the organization says, I know Zoom Walt's a big topic of discussion right now. And I said, well, obviously, it's the hitting coach is what we do in sports, right? You know, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, hitting coach. We know the litany of guys who get fired right away. And this person was telling me yesterday, he goes, there's not a better person to be our hitting coach than Alex Zoom Walt right now. This guy has been with these guys for a very long time through the minor leagues into where they are. He knows how they tick. And it's not like when I do something wrong and I don't do what I need to do, you don't blame my mother. You know, it's not her fault. You didn't raise him right. No, he's 48 years old right now. He should figure things out on his own. Or, you know, you don't blame the parents when kids do stuff as adults that they shouldn't be doing. And that's kind of where they are, I think, with Alex Zoom Walt right now. Because last year, he was the hitting coach. Bobby Witt was a MVP. Vinny Pasquantino became one of the best hitters in baseball. You know, we saw Salvador Perez have a great year last year. This year, yeah, it's Vinny and Salvi aren't getting the job done. But Michael Garcia is, Kyle Isbell is, Drew Waters is having a nice year. Like, he's done a nice job with a lot of other players. Got, you know, Jonathan India back on track. And then your all-stars, your superstars, actually performed like all-stars and superstars last night. And nobody's complaining about the hitting coach right now, right? It's not necessarily the hitting coach. It's about the guys going out there and doing the executing. Can a new voice sometimes be effective? Maybe. But then I got down a rabbit hole of, do teams get better? And overwhelmingly, teams either stay the same or get worse when you replace the hitting coach. And so they're not going to make that kind of move because they believe that they have the right guy as of now. And again, all this can change as time moves on. But as of right now, they believe that they have the best guy who knows these players the best that can go out there and get the most out of them. And that's why they stick with Alex Zoom Walt, because he's the parent. They're the kids. They're grown kids now. They got to go out there and take care of business themselves. It all comes down to those Vinny, Bobby, and Salvi. And if those guys are hitting, this offense is just fine.
No doubt about it. It was great to see that, because last night those three guys did. I thought it was so crucial to hear that stat from the Royals broadcast team where Salvador Perez hits a home run at 396 feet. And Vinny Pasquantino flies out at 413. Vinny's got to be like, dude, I hit that ball 5 feet to the right. It's like golf.
Yeah.
I hit that ball 4 feet to the right and hit the side of the green and roll off. It goes right in the middle of the green and stays.
But game of inches, they say all the time, yeah. And how hard it is to compete at the big league level. And, you know, that was a shot by Vinny. I mean, that's gotten a lot of ballparks, right? Obviously, that one wasn't the other night, but, you know, it comes with the territory. But, you know, you got Salvi back on track. You've got Bobby back on track. And I'm not sitting here trying to be an Alex Zoom Walt apologist. I'm just giving you the information that I received yesterday about Alex Zoom Walt, because everybody wants to talk about this guy and everybody wants to throw him under the bus right now. And it's easy to blame the coach. You can't fire 26 players on your roster, 53 players on your roster. So it always starts with, you know, the low hanging fruit of the offensive coordinator, the hitting coach, or the defensive coordinator, or the pitching coach. And then we kind of go from there. But the Royals, as of right now, don't feel the need to make a change at that hitting coach position. And I don't blame them. I mean, this guy knows what he's doing. He's been around these guys for a while. They trust him right now. And so they'll figure it out. Eventually, you got to take onus on yourself and say, be a big boy, put your big boy pants on. And Bobby and Salvi did that last night.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off.
They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.